Yes, Rugby Australia has its AGM today. Worst case scenario, they're looking at a $90 million loss this year with lost revenue as a result of the coronavirus. And we're joined on the line by the Chief Executive of the Rugby Union Players Association, former Wallaby himself, Justin Harrison. How are you, Justin?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Going all right. Now, Justin, describe the dialogue you've had with Rugby Australia since the Super Rugby season was suspended.
Look, it's been amicable in places, and you know, it's been in good natured. But what it hasn't been is clear enough or had enough clarity around some of the things that we'd like to have some comfort with the next sort of 9 months of what everyone's experiencing, which is extreme amounts of trauma, uncertainty. And as we all head down sort of a path that we're very unfamiliar with, we're looking to try and secure some sort of ability to plan for the future, recognising that there are thousands of people that are dependent on the rugby union ecosystem.
What sort of cuts would the players be willing to take, Justin?
Well, look, I think importantly, the players are willing to participate and construct a positive scenario that has the game and the environment of the game surviving through what is a very difficult situation. The important consideration here is that the players at the moment are willing to consider every option that is possible, but what we haven't been able to do is to engage in the solution and get an understanding of what the future looks like. You know, we're definitely ready and waiting to work towards building something that's sustainable and has all sorts of timelines and possible scenarios in it. You know, and it's important to recognise that when we say players, you know, the players are not looking to protect any sort of elite wage or professional existence. What the players are recognising is that a player refers to the under-6 boy and girl that are playing at Club of the Eagles up to the Jabiru Bush Rats, up in the Northern Territory, the Gundawindi Emus, right through club footy, right through university, grade football, Super Rugby, and right up to Wallabies. You know, this is not about professional sportsmen and women looking after their own niche and trying to separate them from what is a very, very powerful pandemic.
Where is Rugby Australia placed at the moment, Justin? I know they've gone through some difficult times, and are you aware of how much money the game has got at their disposal? And, you know, with no broadcasting rights deal in place for next season, we had the Israel Folau situation. We have the uncertainty now around coronavirus. Where is the game in Australia placed, rugby?
Well look, at the moment, we can't give any certainty, and certainly no one has a silver bullet solution for any of this, and certainty is very difficult in what is a very fast-moving landscape. But what we do know is that with an open discussion and an understanding of where the game is now, we can all have a chance to develop a fair and equitable model. You know, and it's difficult to do that with RA choosing not to engage us to the level of detail that all of the people involved and affected by what's happening around us in society can contribute to, and this includes staff as well as players, as well as everyone's friends and family, as well as the auxiliary services that operate around sport. You know, we understand that every single part of the economy has been touched by this and traumatised by us, and we see visuals and are not silly. There are reports happening every day that we know that there are mass decisions being made with real-time people being affected. And, you know, this story definitely has a heartbeat everywhere you look. And the thing about this story is that our heartbeat at the moment happens to be sport.
Mm. With the coronavirus hanging around, obviously it's a great opportunity for rugby to restructure here in Australia. With your conversations with the players, would they be leaning towards maybe playing, you know, here in Australia and get the Super Rugby competition that they've been playing in, take themselves out of that and build up the local competition here in Australia, like club rugby, rather than their focus on Sanzar and go down that path, or does Sanzar bring so much more money into the game?
You know, look, yeah, it's a great question. You know, there's no secret rugby has faced its challenges, you know, in recent years, and the opportunity that everyone has to play a role in the recovery of the wider Australian population and indeed support the communities that have for so long supported rugby. You know, and I think we all agree that a model that has a roots and branch reassessment and a much more community-driven, community-focused, community engagement piece across all levels, it has got to be a better version of what has been happening historically. You know, and you know, the solution will be formulated with proper and collaborative, open, pragmatic conversations with common sense, and most definitely some trauma if you're talking about finance. But you know, the emotion around anything is too great at the moment, and we'll stress test everything collaboratively across all of the stakeholders.
Justin, how's this working between Players Association and rugby? Are you dealing directly with Raylene Castle?
Yeah, well, that's the initiative there. That, you know, you would expect that some of the decision makers in Rugby Australia certainly have always been, you know, more than willing and able to engage in conversation and recognise the importance of collaborative approaches. And in this instance, sadly, to date, it hasn't been reflected. And look, we understand that sports administrators are not necessarily built to cope with something that's arrived on everyone's landscape at the moment. And most certainly we're seeing all around us good examples and some probably less than perfect examples of great leadership and great direction. And that's very difficult. But one of the things, you know, we are constantly reminded is that when you are in extreme terms of adversity, times of adversity, the human race typically is very good at helping each other, assisting each other and finding solutions together. And I suppose that's what the players, friends and families of and everyone in that ecosystem are keen to engage in.
Well, Justin, you know, you're saying you've been locked out of this process. The game hasn't got a broadcast deal from next year. I mean, how close is Rugby Australia to losing its players?
Oh, well, look, the reality is that, you know, that we have no control over what the decision process behind individual players are going to be and what they will do to seek comfort and solace in different environments. What we need to concentrate on is the task at hand, and that certainly has been is recognising that there are many, many people in the Australian and global communities that are feeling extreme amounts of unheralded trauma and emotional difficulty. You know, we have a player base of friends and families of the players, some of them foreign, who are concerned about their families overseas. So there's a big mental health focus for us as a Players Association to make sure that they are active and mentally agile, concentrating on some training and education on the side. But most certainly also we are very keen on being involved in understanding what the future likes and building towards a model that sees rugby and the sport in the Australian landscape as we know it come out with a much clearer vision on how it can engage communities and how it can be much more tactile with everyone from top to bottom.
Well, Justin, man, great to get your thoughts this morning. Rugby needs, Australia needs rugby to be strong, and let's hope this plays out positively. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Keep well.